This is Fresh Air. Later on the show, we talk about who should pay for the SNL bailout. You can hear the roots of rock and roll in dozens of rhythm and blues recordings made soon after the Second World War. One of the first companies that sought out the music was the black-owned independent label Exclusive. It lasted for only 5 years, but rock and roll historian Ed Ward says when Exclusive found Jimmy Liggins, they hit pay dirt.
One day at the very start of the Depression, an overloaded two-seater touring car with 9 people in it and no gasoline coasted down a hill into San Diego. It was the Liggins family, moving from Guthrie, Oklahoma, to a better life in California. 2 of the car's passengers were young boys, Joe, the oldest by 5 years, and Jimmy. Jimmy was very much in his brother's shadow. Joe was a brilliant teenage musician who'd been intrigued by Duke Ellington records and who was writing arrangements for nationally famous bands within a year of landing in San Diego. By the time he'd graduated from San Diego State University, Joe was playing saxophone and fronting one of the most popular bands in that part of the country. Their regular gig was at the Samba Club at 5th and Town in Los Angeles, and their specialty was a song Joe had written called The Honey Dripper. It was the number the band would play exactly 15 minutes before the midnight wartime curfew hit, and when Leon René, who said he owned a record label, came to see them, they made him wait till then to hear it. Made history was born that night. The next day, April 20th, 1945, René put Joe Liggins and the Honey Drippers into the studio, and the day after that, he slapped a test recording of the Honey Dripper on the jukebox at Silver's Drugstore at 54th and Central in the center of Los Angeles's musically hip, thriving black community. When he went back that evening, the jukebox showed that the Honey Dripper had been played 135 times in 11 hours. René put the record out and found that he had the first million-selling rhythm and blues record on his hands. Joe was a star. He hired his brother Jimmy to drive the bus and hit the road. He also established Exclusive as the first important post-war independent record label, although he never had a record as big as the Honey Dripper for them again. In 1950, though, Exclusive went under, and Joe, who was still popular, was stuck. But not for long. One day in 1947, his brother had come to him and said, "Joe, I've driven my last mile and toted my last bag." Out of nowhere, at the age of 25, Jimmy Liggins had decided to pick up the guitar and become a musician. Specialty Records, another of the new LA-based labels, signed Jimmy immediately, probably figuring anything named Liggins would sell. They were right.
I had to have a boogie with the woogie wouldn't wait. Brought me in long black Cadillac 8. It's all reeked, solid streamlined. I'll joy jumping Cadillacs on time. It's the Cadillac boogie, boogie woogie rolling along. Ugh, 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 I. Ugh, 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 I. Look out, gate, don't be late. This roving cat's got a Cadillac 8. Air foam cushions and a modern design. V8 motor body Fleetwood line. He rolled.
Jimmy's records lacked the polish Joe's had, but they were in tune with the times. So when Joe became available, Specialty snapped him up, and predictably, his first record shot straight to the top. Probably the best way to contrast the difference between the two brothers' music is to consider their takes on alcohol. When Joe sang about pink champagne, he did it in a swirl of pseudo-Ellingtonian saxophones. Jimmy had a rather different approach.
Drunk. 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 It's a mean old bottle they call moonshine. Red, red wine, so mellow and fine. Come home at night with a swimming in the head. Reach for the pillow, miss the whole darn bed. Drunk. Drunk.
Record buyers snapped them drunk. Both up, though. Drunk was a top 10 R&B hit in 1953. Times were changing, though. Neither Joe's jazzy sophistication nor Jimmy's rough-and-ready blues shouting was capturing black record buyers' attention by the mid-50s, and both men dropped from sight, Jimmy permanently. Joe, of course, had his honey dripper royalties and lived well in Compton until a stroke claimed him in 1987, 2 months after he'd played before 200,000 people at the Chicago Blues Festival. The Liggins brothers were true rock and roll pioneers. They opened the gates through which the better-known names passed.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle.